Okay.
So, are there any questions that you wanted to ask?
You suggested an Inspire computer. Calculator for the class.
Well, read the syllabus carefully. There's an Inspire, and then there's an Inspire CAS. You've got an 89, so you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. I was told that
you
can do 3D as well, and this one cannot do 3D.
Oh, that can do 3D graphing.
Okay.
The 3D graphing is, it's nice, but you can get by without it. The main thing is the ability to do lots of complicated derivatives and integrals. But there is a 3D graphing mode on the 89.
The CAS stands for Computer Algebra System. The Inspire with the CAS is more expensive, but it can do all those things pretty much that an 89 can do. All right. Okay. So just from last time, same vectors, different vectors, right? Same direction, different magnitudes, and same magnitudes, different directions. If they have the same magnitude and the same direction, then they're the same vector. So you can make infinitely many copies of the same vector. You just have the same arrow, so to speak, starting at different places. Okay. Let's do some new stuff here.
We're starting in chapter 2, right?
Section 2.1. I dipped my toes into it yesterday, but most of it we got to do today. All right. So here's the easy thing. This is called scalar multiplication. And scalar, for us, that just means a real number. And the idea here is you multiply a scalar by a vector. And it's very easy. Like so. Imagine I go 3 miles north, I don't know, 3 miles east and 2 miles north, say. Imagine I did that 5 times, right? Well, okay. If that's all I did, then that would mean I would go 15 miles east and 10 miles north, right? You multiply a number or a scalar by a vector, and the product is a vector. So that's scalar multiplication. Number times vector equals vector. And you just distribute. It's very intuitive. 5 times 3, 5 times 10. All right. Interpretation visually is also very straightforward. Right? If I have vector V here, and we can say, oh yeah, 2 V's is that. What about, I don't know, pi V's? Well, I guess that would be a little bit more than 3 V's, so something like that. What about negative 2 V's? Well, I should go the other way, right?
Okay. That's all there is to it.
You can make it. You can make the arrow shorter too. Right? Have 1/2 of V.
Is that pi V, sir?
Yeah. So about 3.14 V's, right? Just make the arrow pi times as long. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a fraction. I mean, it doesn't have to be a fraction of integers. It can be an irrational number too. Any real number is good. And so that's how you should think about it visually. So if I give you an arrow and I say this is V, and I want you to sketch 7V, you can do it even if I don't give you components for it. And then we have, I guess there's a special case here, which is if you want negative V, that's just negative 1 times V, right? Same thing. Now, let me see here. A little question about the scalar multiplication. Okay. So I have this vector here, right? About 3 and 2. What is the magnitude, or roughly, or can you tell me a formula for the magnitude of that one? Yes. Good old Pythagorean theorem. Easy peasy. Okay. Square root of 13. All right. So if I multiply it by 5, what would be the magnitude of this?
What would it be? Yeah, it would be, but you don't want to do that, do you? If I make the arrow 5 times as long, then it's 5 times as long.
Okay? Factor out the 5, right? Make your life easier. There's a little way that could go wrong in that if you multiply by a negative number, you don't get an arrow of negative length. Like if I flip it around and I do this, right? I multiply it by negative 2, say. So what would that be? In components, that would be negative 6 comma negative 4. So, a little careful of that one. Okay, so I factor out the negative 2. But I'm not making the arrow negative 2 times as long. I'm just making it twice as long. And in general, if you have a scalar C and you multiply it by a vector V, the magnitude of the product is the absolute value of your scalar times the magnitude of the original vector. So like negative 4 times 1/6 is equal to the absolute value of 4 times the magnitude of 1/6, which is 4 times the square root of 37. 1 squared and 6 squared. If you use an absolute value there, it'll cover all the cases, right? Okay. Questions about this?
Can I just get a minute to copy this?
Yeah. Okay. I'll take a picture. So, if you don't want to copy everything religiously, that's okay. You can just listen to what I say and watch the show, and you can look at the pictures later. Also, if you ever catch a mistake in what I did, hopefully it's still in class so I can fix it right away. But if it's not, you can tell me about it, and I can go edit the photos, right, and pretend it never happened, right? Yeah. Okay. So there's another vector operation. And that other operation is not multiply a vector by a vector. Okay? So don't do that.
Let's see here. Maybe I'll push that one up.
Okay. Okay. So, this is what I never want to see. Right? No. Don't do that. No. There is a dot product, but but when you do a dot product, you don't get another vector. You get a scalar. Right. Don't do that. Now, what we're going to do for the other operation is vector addition. Okay, that we can do. Three plus one, four plus two. Okay. And you can subtract stuff, right? Because what is subtraction? Well, you're just taking. What you're really doing is you're just adding negative one, right? Times whatever you're subtracting, right? So it's just another form of addition, right? So 3 minus 1 is 2, 4 minus 2 is 2. That's fine. Okay. That looks a little too menacing, but let's just do a sad face there. My sisters are better artists than I am. All right. Okay. Okay, so you can add, and therefore, thanks to our ability to multiply by negative 1, we can subtract. That's fine.
Sir?
Yeah?
I'm not understanding that 3, 4, and 1, 2 equals 3. It does not equal 3 and 8.
Well, you know, somebody could have thought, it's, 3 times 1 and 4 times 2 or something, right? I've seen that happen. Right? That's not how it works.
Okay.
Don't try to multiply them like that. Just there are some things we'll do later called a dot product and a cross product, but they don't work like that, right?
But they do add and subtract.
You can always add and subtract, and the reason you can add and subtract is because there's a geometric and physical interpretation, right? You can think of this as, I went 3 miles east and 4 miles north, and then I went another mile east and another 2 miles north. So altogether, I went 4 miles east and 6 miles north, right? And so we can make a picture, right? So those probably aren't the best choices for a picture, but let's say I have, here's vector u, here's vector v. Okay. Now, I'm not going to give you components for these, I'm just going to give you the arrows. Now, let's see if we can sketch u plus v and u minus v. And how about v minus u? Okay. The way we do that is going along with that physical intuition, what I said. The idea is, okay, first I make one displacement. I start somewhere and I go, say, 3 to the right and 4 up. Then I go 1 to the right and 2 up. Okay, so let's do that here. Let's start with U. This is the problem. Here's the solution. Let's start with U. There's U. So we start somewhere. We make our little U displacement. That we take that trip. And then we go follow V. Okay. So U and V. And so if we started here, then we went here, and we ended up here, okay. Then overall, this is what we did. And by the way, V plus U is the same, right? Because I could have done the same thing like so. Here's U, here's V again, and then here's U again, right? A little parallelogram, right? And so I could follow U then V, or I could follow V and then U. Doesn't matter which one I do first.
All of my horizontal displacement adds up the same way. All of my vertical displacement adds up the same way.
You can, it's pretty obvious algebraically, right? If I had done 1, 2 plus 3, 4,
it would have been the same thing. But it also works by picture.
Okay, but what about U minus V? Well, let's see.
Probably the least confusing thing to do would be to reverse
V, right? Okay. So let's take U, and then let's multiply V by negative 1. So just reverse the direction, but the same length. Okay. So here we go. Here's U, and then there's negative V, roughly. It's just a sketch, right? So if I follow U and then a reversed V, that'll be U minus V, right? U plus negative V. That's all we're doing there. And you can play the same game, to get V minus U. Start with V. Put it there. Now reverse U. Okay, so we start here. And so now, if we follow V and then negative U, then we end up here. This is the same as V plus negative. Okay. So it's same idea. It's the same sequence, right? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, right? You just make a bent path with your two vectors. And then you make a straight line from start to finish. And that's your net displacement. Displacement is one of those technical concepts, right? If I drive around in a big circle and end up back where I started, right, I may have gone a great distance, but my displacement is zero, right? I haven't gone anywhere.
So, you want to think about displacement here, the difference between where you started and where you ended up.
There may be many paths that take you from the same start point to the same end point, but the displacements are all the same.
Think about sketching U plus negative U. I follow U, and then I follow negative U, and I'm right back where I started, right? 1, 2, 3, right? So,
we want to have something for that.
In terms of our algebraic stuff, in terms of components, and that's the zero with an arrow on it. So that's not the same as the number zero. It's not a number, it's a vector. It's two zeros, right? My net displacement is the same. I didn't go north or south, and I didn't go east or west once you add it all up. I'm right back where I started. Yeah. There's another special one called I. So I'm going to write an I, kind of curly I there, and I didn't put the dot because my little arrow is going to get in the way. So that's an I. I don't know why they do I, but it's tradition. Okay, so the I represents 1 to the right, 1 in the positive x direction. The J represents 1 up, 1 in the positive y direction. Sometimes people like to express their vectors in terms of the I's and the J's instead of the components. So, for example, 3, 4. You can write that as 3, 0 plus 0, 4. Well, you can, but why would you want to? Yeah. Now that's okay. Well, and then you could factor out the 3 as a scalar multiple, right? 3 times 1 is 3, and 3 times 0 is 0. And you could factor out a 4 here. 4 times 0 is 0. 4 times 1 is 4. So that's okay. And so, okay, no one really wants to write them that way. But that is something you will come across in the textbook and in how other people using vectors write.
Right? It means the same thing?
It means the exact same thing, right? The 1, 0 is the I, the 0, 1 is the J. So it's just another way of writing the same thing. So sometimes you might see something like this. Somebody writes I minus 2J. Right? Oh, well, okay. That's a 1.
in the horizontal part minus a 2 in the vertical part. No problem. Or what if they write, what if they're a little trickier, what if they write J minus I? Yeah, negative 1, 1. Yeah. If you're not sure about that, just go back to the definition. So this is I, that's J. And then you know how scalar multiplication works, you know how addition works algebraically. If you want a little picture, here's a little picture. We have the zero vector, you can think of it as just a dot, because you're going nowhere, right? If that's your displacement. Then here's your vector I. It has length 1 and going to the right. And here's your vector J. It has length 1 and it's going up. Sorry about the multiple notations. It's just the way it is. I can't change the tradition. Okay. Questions about that? All right, let me give you something maybe a little more interesting. Here's vector A. Here's vector B. And I'm going to draw another vector here. What should we describe this arrow as?
Okay. Displacement?
It's a displacement arrow, but in terms of A and B, what is it?
A plus B?
Well, no, because let's look at our path here. If we start here, right, I mean, how do you go from, how, you have to follow the arrows, yeah. Right. 1, 2, 3, right? So yeah, so it's A plus something, B, right? First we're following B. So you follow the two arrows that sort of match, right? Not the arrows that go against each other. But if we follow the arrows and try to get to all three points, we follow B, then we follow the mystery vector. Yeah, it's A minus B, right? Yeah. So you can just subtract B from both sides, it's fine. That actually can come up a fair amount because it is often more convenient for some pictures to draw two vectors starting from the same place instead of this thing where I have, oh, first draw vector B and then at the end of vector, or sorry, like up here, you draw vector U, right? And then at the end, the terminal point of vector U, then you start vector B. Sometimes you really don't want to do that. You want to start both vectors from the same place. And then if you complete the triangle, you end up with a subtraction, not an addition. So
you got to be aware of that.
Let's draw the picture. Okay, here's a copy of A, kind of. Should have brought a ruler, but okay, here's A. So you want to change things now. So you want to put B like this, right? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. That be the result.
No.
Sure, that's a great name for a resultant. It's not the same length, is it?
No.
No.
If you have the inverse of B, or B multiplied by a negative scalar, then it'll be the same distance.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, we can move this around that way. I can kind of something like this, right? So flip B around, right? So kind of like this: negative B and A. One, two, three. Now you have A minus B. Okay, so that's the same. You can put these two triangles together and get a parallelogram, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
When you multiply by negative 1, then yes, it's the inverse. I mean, if you want to get technical, it's the additive inverse, right? Because it's undoing addition by that vector, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
But since you don't multiply vectors, there is no multiplicative inverse, is there? So we can just say, additive inverse.
Or just inverse, right? That's another thing that can get you a frowny face, by the way. You can't divide vectors either, right? Yeah. Just like you can't multiply them, no. You can't divide them either, right?
For the same reason. Okay, so there's no multiplicative inverse. There's no reciprocal of a vector.
No idea what that even means, right? I mean, if I have a displacement of 10 meters northeast, what's the reciprocal of that? That would be in units of reciprocal meters? Does that make any sense?
But we can do an additive inverse. We can go 10 meters southwest, right? That makes sense.
So yeah, so you've got yeah, there's lots of terminology.
Yeah.
Negative B is the inverse of B when you're talking about a vector. Okay. So yeah, the addition and especially the subtraction takes some getting used to. I'm sure that'll be on the homework.
Let me think.
Other questions? Yeah.
I was supposed to write down the last two.
Write down the last two.
The triangle.
Yeah, the bottom one. Yeah, those two.
Are we supposed to write them down?
Explain it to the guy, or like we write it down?
Oh, I was just explaining it. So,
yeah.
So, one thing you gotta watch out for, if you're ever listening to a mathematician talk, a mathematician is not just interested in solving the problem. They want to talk about why everything is the way it is, right? And they want to make lots of comments. So, in terms of just solving the problem, right, I solved it right here. B plus the mystery is A, so the mystery has to be A minus B. But then there was questions, and I thought I could make some interesting diagrams in response, so I did, right? So I already got the solution right here. And this is stuff that I hope helps your understanding, at least some of you. But, yeah.
that happened over here too, right?
The shortest, I mean, if you want to translate between these two notations, you go straight from 3 comma 4 to 3i plus 4j. Nobody writes these two intermediate steps here. But I was showing you them because I wanted you to see why it works. I didn't want it to be this arbitrary rule. So, yeah. Now let's do a little story problem, which will bring in the last topic I wanted to talk about today, which was doing components from angles. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's a little story. Let's say I travel, let's just say I'm walking. This will be a short walk. Let's say I walk 50 meters north. Turn left 20 degrees. Okay. Then walk 40 meters in a straight line, not curvy, right? I can ask two questions here. Well, I can ask three questions. Yeah, there we go. Okay. How far north have I gone? Let's see here. North, south, east, west, right? How far west? Have I gone? And I, right? Because I'm gonna go 50 meters north, and then I make my little 20 degree turn, right?
You keep on walking up in that direction.
Yeah.
20 degrees.
Well, I turn 20 degrees, and then I go another 40
keep
meters.
Keep on walking 40.
Yeah. So I did this. And then I did that, right? One, two, three. See, it's a vector addition problem, but there's some trick in there now, right?
Yeah. You always take the angle with respect to the end?
Well, it depends on the problem. I said I turned left, right? So there are lots of angles, but in this situation, I said I turned left, right? My last question is, here, I'll use more technical language for the last one. What is my displacement magnitude? Right. So that would be the straight line distance, right? So here's another picture. Attempt to do it. 50, 40, and then here's my displacement magnitude would be the straight line distance. That angle looks too big, but no.
Supposed to be 20, right?
It's supposed to be 20 degrees. That doesn't look like 20 degrees, but yeah.
So, what we need protractors or anything to encompass this in order to.
I told you the angle, so you can throw away the protractor. Yeah. Yes, you've read the book, right? No, you took a trig class, right? Or something. Physics? Okay. Yeah, they would cover the same thing in physics. Okay. University Physics 1, maybe in General Physics 1, yeah.
Yeah. You just got to break it up into its pieces. Okay? And here we go. So here's the 50. And then there's this other part here, right? Okay, you need to change that 40, right? You need to think of that 40 vector, that 40 meters, you need to think of it as the sum of two vectors, right? And if you think about it that way, here, let's call theta the 20 degrees, okay? So there's my little angle theta in there, okay? Now, it's just trick, right? If this is 40 meters, right, if that's one length of the, that's the length of the hypotenuse, what's the length of this leg? 40 times, yeah, this is the adjacent leg, so it's the cosine. And so the other one, that's the opposite leg, so 40 times the sine.
Okay. All right. Right. I mean, I didn't ask for XY component because, but north would basically be the Y component, west would be the negative X component, I suppose, right? But, yeah.
The key insight here is any 2D vector is a horizontal plus a vertical. You can break up any 2D vector into a vertical part and a horizontal part.
And then you just, if you know enough angles, in this case we just need one angle, then you can say what those parts are.
Okay, so I had three questions, now there's three answers. Okay, how far north? 50 plus 40 cosine of 20 degrees, right? In meters. How far west? 40 times the sine of 20 degrees.
The last one.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think the shortest route to victory here would be just use the Pythagorean theorem on what we have, right? Think of it as the 50 plus the 40 cosine theta, right? And then we make a big triangle, right? So, like so. Big right triangle like that. So, like so. And then we hit it with the Pythagorean theorem. Nice big right triangle. The north and the west, and combined with the Pythagorean theorem to get this thing right here. I had to think of it in terms of a big right triangle. In general, triangles are hard, but right triangles are easy. So you have to make yourself a right triangle when you need one. And then trig comes in and helps you out. Worst right triangle I've drawn. Okay. So yeah, you need some geometry for that part. Right? You need some trig, right? If you're gonna do something like calculus 3, you're gonna have to remember a lot of geometry and trig, which maybe you forgot. I don't know. I'm only going to make a few problems. You may decide that you need more practice with this stuff. The book has a zillion exercises. The odd ones, the solutions are... They provide the solutions, right, with the book. Just download the book if you haven't already. So you can get as much practice as you want. If you want me to make up another problem, come ask me and I'll make up another problem. So this is part of the first homework batch that's due on day 7. Okay, we gotta do some more stuff. Okay, problem one, sketch. Just copy my vectors. You can rescale it on your paper however you want, right? But, U and V are similar in length. W is much shorter than... It's a sketch. It doesn't have to be perfect, but use vectors that look roughly like mine. Okay? A Okay, here's an easy one. Here's another easy one. What about just negative 5j by itself? See if you remember this thing.
Okay. Is that negative 5j2 or a question mark?
That is a question mark. So it's a two-part question, right? What's the magnitude of this? What's the magnitude of that? Now, let's see.
Class ends at 2:30, 2:20.
I'm running out of time. Okay. All right. Let me finish what I'm writing. If you really need to run, you can run. I won't be offended. Sorry, I'm 2 minutes over.
Sorry about that. I'm done.